Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello everyone, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth. It's great to have you here. Today it is episode 28 and I'm really excited because one of my big goals for this podcast was to make it to 30 episodes and I'm so close to there, which is very cool. Of course, once you reach one of those goals, you have to think, right, we need to keep going past 30 episodes. So maybe we have to make the next goal 100 or something. You can let me know. Shoot me an email and say, yes, Ruth, we love your podcast. Keep it going to 100 episodes. Or, nah, you'd be fine. Just go with 30. Anyway, you can see which one I really want. As I record episode 28, it is Wednesday, the 1st of May, 2019. And so that is actually another thing I want to comment on because that is the anniversary of my first novel, Deadly Misconduct, being published. So I launched Deadly Misconduct on the 1st of May last year at Fuller's Bookshop in Hobart. And I'm not saying that it's ever going to be my greatest work. In fact, I'm so excited about the next novel I'm bringing out, which is called Small Town Trouble and is coming out soon. Not sure when, but soon. That, you know, in a way you think, oh, the old books, I've learnt so much since I wrote that one. And that's great because that's actually what I want. Growth mentality, always growing, always learning, always getting better. So that's awesome. But I have to say that that first novel, that was my life-changing book, really. That was the one that happened as I was making this choice to leave work at a university and actually get out and write books and do things. And it's been a big year. A lot of things have changed. I've had health issues and then health issues resolving themselves, which is wonderful. I've learnt more about writing. As I said, I've started this podcast, which is exciting. And I've also figured out that I need to do some more day job type work. So now I do some editing as well on the side, and all kinds of things have happened this year. It's been a real big year of growth and change, but it's really good to look back to just how it was, 1 year ago today. It was a crazy time. You'll hear soon just how crazy it is again, but it was a crazy time putting it all together and launching that book and saying, this is it. This is one of the things that I really feel God is calling me to do, and this is life-changing. I remember in my speech saying, I don't think that this book is going to change your life, but it really has changed my life. And then my boss's wife at the time stuck up her hand in the question time and said, how has this book changed your life? And I had to say, well, come middle of this year, I'm not going to be working for your husband anymore. And that was quite funny, of all the people to ask that question, it had to be her. But it has been life-changing and I'm really thrilled to be doing what I'm doing now. So yeah, so I want to thank the Lord for this year just gone and the excitement of writing books and giving them to people to read. As always, if you want to read my novels, you can go to rjamos.com and you will find my novels there available on all the ebook places, and you can also purchase yourself a paperback book by going to Amazon and you'll find it there, or if you live in Hobart you can find it in all the bookshops. Enough advertising. This week's guest is Julie, and Julie talks to us about her life as a psychologist, but she talks more about the history of her life and why she went into psychology and really how God has come through and met all her needs. That's the major theme of today, is God meeting her needs. It's a wonderful interview and I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. This week in my life, or the week just gone, I watched Endgame, the Avengers movie. If you're not a movie buff, if you are anywhere near the movies, you'd know about Endgame. And I enjoyed it a lot. And that's all I'm going to say about that. No spoilers from me. But it was full on. It was an intense afternoon of movie watching and a lot of fun. I have friends staying now, so that's really awesome. That's not a normal thing for me, but it's just really nice to be able to open up my house and have people staying over. And then I have some family things. So on Monday, we drove an hour and a half to Ellendale for a funeral of a family member, not a close family member, but a family member, and spent some time with family there. And then on Friday night, which I am very excited about, coming up Friday night, 3rd of May, is my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. So I'm so thrilled to be able to celebrate that with them, and we're going to have a really nice dinner here. Well, I hope it's going to be really nice. We're going to have a dinner here on Friday night and just celebrate that amazing milestone in their lives. 50 years married. Isn't that incredible? So congratulations, Mum and Dad. Happy golden anniversary, and so grateful that you have followed the Lord in what you've done and that your marriage is just such an example to me. So look forward to celebrating that on Friday. And then on Saturday, I have a book fair. So if you're in Hobart, you can come to Hadley's Hotel sometime between 9 and 5 on Saturday, and I'll be there giving a little talk at 1:30. I'm giving a talk about my publishing journey, and at 11:15 in the morning I'm doing a reading, and I'm not reading from any of my published books. I'm reading from Small Town Trouble, that book that's going to be published soon, so you can get a sneak preview of that if you're in Hobart. And then on Saturday night, our church is having a women's ministry event, and I am hosting a bit of that. So I'm having a writing evening on Saturday night. So people are coming around to my place and we're going to all write, I don't know what we're going to write, whatever comes into our heads at the time, short stories, or psalms or poems or whatever creative thing happens. So that's going to be a really fun night as well, quite joyful. If you know me at all, then you know that having something on Friday night, Saturday during the day and Saturday night is going to be quite a big thing for me, but it just has happened. It's just happened. These things have come together this weekend, and that's the way it is. And so this week has been a real week of relying on the Lord, really trying not to make it worse by stressing about it. And instead of stressing about it, just being grateful for the opportunity to do these things and trying to get organized so that everything is ready to go. And I just, you know, pick up a box and set off and off we go and make it happen. So yeah, big weekend for me this weekend, but I think it will be joyful. I have to say, on Sunday, I am not going to church anywhere. I'm just going to, I'm probably going to sit and stare at the wall for a few hours or read a book or watch some really boring television or something like that, pull myself together, have a retreat day. But yeah, I am looking forward to each of the activities that I've got coming up this week. And I'll talk to you on Wednesday about how it all went. We will see. And the other thing that I just wanted to say is next Wednesday, so this needs a bit of introduction as well. I've started going to a second church. So my home church is St. Clement's in Kingston, and my second church is St. Luke's in Taroona, which is just around the corner from Kingston. And it's a lovely little church, and I'm helping them support. We're doing a really big push to reach out to the Taroona community and to see if we can bring some more people to know God, because that's what it's about. And so one of the tools that we're using to reach out to the Taroona community is Alpha, and Alpha is starting at St. Luke's Taroona next Wednesday at 10:30. So that's really exciting. I just went to a bit of a training day for that today, and really looking forward to seeing what God will do through Alpha next week. So I thought I'd put that out there. I mean, this is my opportunity to do all my advertising. It's been a bit of an advertising reel today. But so that's happening next Wednesday, is Alpha. So yeah, so big things happening in my life at the moment, but all really joyful things. And I think that's just such a lovely thing, that the things that I'm doing, the things that I want to put my head to, are things that bring me joy and bring me life, and are just so much fun. And I mean, what a joy to celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary, or a life well lived, or the joy of writing. I mean, it's all good stuff, isn't it? Anyway, I'm going to stop with my advertising reel now, and I hope that your week ahead is maybe not as full as mine, but is full of good things as well. And let's have a listen to Julie and her conversation that we had this week, and I think you'll find it a really joyful conversation. Catch you on the flip side.
Today's guest is Julie. Welcome, Julie. Julie works as a psychologist in the public service, and she is also an incredibly skilled cook, especially when it comes to special foods around, you know, allergies and paleo and stuff. I haven't had enough meals that Julie's cooked, but the ones I've had are really nice.
Thank you.
And she has one grown-up son.
That's right.
Yeah. So, that's about my introduction today.
That'll do.
And we'll get to know you better, Julie. So how did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad travelled a lot with work when I was growing up, so I don't actually remember Dad coming to church with us or anything, but I have very lovely, joyful memories of going to church and going to Sunday school and everything that went with that, you know, little memory verse cards and the songs that we sang. And our Sunday school was where I went to kindergarten as well, so we got to play on all the cool equipment and everything. And
nice.
It, just very, very happy memories.
Yeah. Was that here in Tassie?
That was in South Australia.
South Australia, right.
In Wyala.
Right.
And I remember my mum teaching me how to pray and how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and they're just really beautiful memories. Mm-hmm. And I felt very close to the Lord, and I felt a lot of joy generally.
Yeah.
As I grew older, some things happened in my teenage years that actually just led to me feeling like God had abandoned me. And I know that's not true, but that's how it felt at the time.
Yeah.
And so I just turned away from God, from my faith, from everything, and made some choices that weren't very healthy. And then when I was an adult, and I would have been, I was 22,
right.
Because I was living a life that wasn't very healthy or happy or constructive, and I didn't really care very much about my life. And then I really felt God saying to me, I'm still here, I still love you, and I know you don't care about your life, but I'm going to give you a life that you will care about.
Wow, that's great. Was that in a special, like, was it during a special time? Were you at, in your bedroom and or down the beach, or was it just a general feeling?
It was actually just in my bedroom alone, feeling like I just don't care.
Mm.
My life felt so meaningless, and just I felt really empty, and I really felt God's presence saying, "Yeah, I hear you.
Wow,
it's not always going to be like this." So,
what a promise.
I know. It was a great promise. And I fell pregnant.
Oh, wow.
That was the life. He gave me this little life because I really didn't care about mine.
Mm.
But I really did care about my son's life. And that was a real turning point. I had married, and unfortunately my husband's life didn't change. Mine did. And so when my son was two, we separated. And so God was just tapping me on the shoulder the whole time, saying, still here, still love you. And then I found my way to a church family. I'd started doing some volunteer work with Fusion and met some beautiful, amazing, wonderful people who just really loved me and cared about me. And I found that meaning that had just been lost. So that's how I became Christian.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so did your work with Fusion lead to you wanting to become a psychologist, or had that already happened? Or
it certainly contributed to it. So I was doing some study at TAFE to become a welfare worker. So I became a welfare worker, and at the end of my studies, or almost at the end of my studies, I was, you know, in the old days, used to sign up with Skillshare or, you know, before it became Centrelink, and they'd say, look, we will call you when a suitable job turns up for you.
Yeah.
And no one ever got a call.
Yes.
Well, I did.
Oh.
I got a call. And it was amazing. So I was still studying, and I got an invitation to go and do 6 weeks work with the Department of Community Services at that time as a juvenile corrections worker.
Right.
And so I just thought, well, I can't really do it because I'm studying. So I rang my mum, as you do when you have big decisions to make.
Mm.
And she said, well, why can't you do it? I went, well, I suppose I can. So I just got permission from TAFE to go and do this work, and they gave me their blessing. And so I went and did some work for 6 weeks initially, which turned into 6 months. And then they advertised the position to be a permanent position, but they said I couldn't apply because I didn't have a degree.
Ah.
So I'd been doing the job for 6 months,
but couldn't apply for it. Apparently can't do that job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
this happens often too.
That was disappointing.
Yeah,
very. But I thought, well, if that's what it takes, because I really enjoyed the work, I better go and get one.
Yeah.
So I did.
So often I hear people who have had a bit of a rough, or, you know, made bad decisions or whatever.
Yep.
They want to become a social worker, or they want to become a welfare worker or whatever. So, yeah, I guess that.
I think it was definitely part of my healing, and I see that in a lot in the work that I do now, that, you know, God can turn things around so amazingly, and that was certainly the case for me. Mm. So I don't necessarily have the same experiences as the people who come to see me, but I do actually understand a little bit about what it means to feel like life has no meaning, or, you know, to feel empty, you know, all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people really look for in a psychologist or a counsellor or, you know, a listener, is someone who can just understand some of those feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's that verse that I don't know where it comes from, but I'll put it in the show notes, that says we comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sort of feeling. Cool. So you did all your study, TAFE and everything, as a single mum?
I did.
Do you have any words of encouragement for...
Oh, one foot in front of the other, and ironing's not that important.
Yeah.
it was really hard. Yeah. So we had no money, for a lot of it, no support.
Mm.
I started my psych degree in Launceston, and halfway through my first year, the university, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they weren't going to offer psych as a major anymore.
Okay.
So I had the choice to either come to Hobart or go somewhere else, to another university. And at the time, Hobart strangely had no appeal whatsoever.
She just didn't know us.
Oh, that's exactly right. So I moved to Melbourne.
Right.
As a single mum with absolutely no family support there whatsoever.
Oh, my goodness.
Except that my dad had a house that... he was able to rent to me at mates rates. So I had somewhere to live, which was fairly close to the university. So that was a wonderful blessing.
But you would have had to pay for childcare and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And commute a couple of hours a day. And
huge.
It was really hard. And
did you do it full time?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Because I went to uni with two kids at home, but I had a husband who was also going to uni, which makes life much easier in terms of... I mean, we still did some daycare, but one of us was available to pick them up. And then we also went... I went part-time. I didn't go full-time until I got to the end of my degree and went into honours. So, I mean, 75%, which counts as full-time, but...
Yep.
But
it's still hard work.
Still made a difference. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you were pretty dedicated then to get that.
Well, I think I was, I felt called, you know, I really felt that God's hand of blessing was on this work, and that it was a season and it was going to be okay. And, you know, when I became a Christian, one of the promises that I really felt loud and clear from God was, you will always have everything you need.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, his provision through that time, and it was hard, we had no money, was just amazing. You know, even things like, you know, my car needed new tyres, and I didn't go around telling people my car needed new tyres, and I did a lot of driving, and an envelope with the exact amount of money that I needed to get new tyres appeared in my letterbox.
Mm.
You know, things like that, you know. Yeah. It was just extraordinary.
You have a testimony that's just really strong then, because you can't You can't really explain that away.
Absolutely not.
Once you've had, well, in our case, 6 years full of coincidences like that. Yeah. Like,
my mum always said a coincidence is when God chooses to be anonymous. I love that.
I love that. That's gorgeous.
And there's been a lot of that in my life. I've been very, very fortunate. Mm.
So when did you choose to come to Hobart, or why did you come down here?
Well, that was a God thing too, of course. So we were living in Melbourne and it was pretty lonely and I'd been very sick. Mm. And so we'd come to Launceston to visit my family because they were all in Launceston, and it was Easter. And so we'd visit, the whole family were there. And my son was about 10. And so the whole family's there, big family doing, having a fabulous time. It's like, oh, I just love this so much. And my son came hurtling down the backyard and ran through a glass sliding door and just about took his kneecap off. Mm. So it was very bizarre, as shock does to you, you know. It was like a sort of slow motion choreographed scene, you know, and so everyone did something helpful. So one person got a blanket to wrap around us. My mum was a nurse, so she looked after Jess's knee as best she could. Someone called the ambulance, and you know, someone got the little kids out of the way, and it was just extraordinary the way it happened. And as we were driving off in the ambulance, I looked up at the, because it was on a hill, looked up at the family home, and there's the whole family standing along the balcony, and God very clearly said to me, if this happened anywhere else in the world, you would be all alone.
Yeah.
It was like, you need to come home. Mm. So I had a great job and the house was really nice, but I was very lonely. And, you know, once again, you will always have everything you need. Mm. So we started making plans to come back to Tasmania. Best move ever. Wanted to be close to my family, but not too close. Mm. So started looking at Hobart. Mm. And all of a sudden, Hobart looked very different to what it had a few years before. It just looked like some kind of paradise now. And so here we are.
Yeah, great. Okay, so I always think of a psychologist as someone who sits in an office and people come and see them and chat about stuff. Is there more to your to psychology as a...
There is a little bit more to that. I mean, I think that works for some people, and I think that's what some people look for in a psychologist or a therapist or a counsellor. Mm. I like a little bit more structure to the way I work. So there's certainly an assessment that happens, you know, getting a person's history, mm-hmm. finding out about how they come to be in the situation that they're in, what sort of history might have contributed to that, what's creating difficulties for the person in the present, mm-hmm. and how they see where that's going. So there's a little bit more to it. And especially in the context that I work, people seem to really want some structure around it. Yeah, so that works quite well in the setting that I work in. Yeah. So, and a lot of people who come to see me have experienced quite horrific things. Mm. So they need to feel like they can talk about those things safely. Mm. So there's a number of ways to do that.
Yeah.
And I think explaining the structure and how it all works is part of that.
Yeah.
So one of the therapies that I use quite a bit is called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy.
Okay.
And that works on the basis that a lot of the problems that we have are because of the way our memories are stored. So it's quite a lengthy process, but it works on reprocessing the way the memories are stored to change the way a person feels about things that have happened in their lives.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because that's just bringing to my mind that whole thing of sometimes when you go to a Christian, in a Christian counselling situation, people will ask you to think about where Jesus was,
yes.
in that place where that memory happened.
Yes.
And And that sort of explains why that's a helpful thing, because
it's a very helpful thing. And I've had that experience with a Christian counsellor, and it changed everything for me about how I saw that. And that was that traumatic experience as a teenager. And so I know now, I didn't know then, but I know now that Jesus was right there with me and got me through that time. And when I was doing my studies, I did some studies at Tabor as well. And we did some studies on Job. And what I got from that was that it's actually not all that helpful to ask why something happens. It's actually much more useful and productive to ask, how is Jesus going to use this?
Oh, that's nice.
Exactly. And that was really helpful for me because I don't know why those things happen to me, and I don't know why things happen to the people who come and see me, you know. But it's quite helpful for me personally to think, well, how is Jesus going to use this?
Gives it a different type of meaning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. So you work in the public service. So you're not a Christian counsellor by job definition. How does your faith come into your work?
I'm really glad you asked that question because I had to think about it quite a bit. And it's a really good question. Because one of the things I like about the work that I do is being able to reflect on why I do things the way I do. And so I think a really big part of that is the ability to be non-judgmental and to just sit with people while they talk about whatever it is that they need to talk about. You know, often people come with a great deal of shame. And as I said, you know, sometimes they need to talk about things that, you know, it's not dinner table conversation. So people need to feel like they can do that. And I think that's probably the most significant thing that I can do as a Christian in the work that I do is to be able to hear those stories.
So a lot of people would say that Christians are the most judgmental people out there. Indeed. How does your faith help you to be non-judgmental?
That's a good question too.
I haven't given her time to think about this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to really simplify it down to very simple terms, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
You know, I think that Jesus did that, you know, listen to people's stories and whether it was about shame or things that had happened to them. And so I think that's it. That's how I can manifest my faith. Because people do come and, you know, they come from all walks of life and they come from lots of different beliefs and experiences. And sometimes that's part of the topic of conversation. So I think just being able to hear those, how do I do it non-judgmentally, I think is just about, you know, what would Jesus do? And to be loving and listening and merciful too. You know, I think I did a course once on spiritual gifts, and it turned up that I apparently have the gift of mercy. And I think that's how that manifests, is being able to hear people's stories without taking a particular position. I might very privately and personally have a particular thought about some situations, but it's not my role to put that onto people in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess we know, as Christians, we know we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and fallen short.
Exactly! So, and that's a big part of it too.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. So when do you feel close to God?
I was glad you asked that question too. Because when I really thought about it, you know, it's actually when I wake up first thing in the morning.
Nice.
And I generally wake up with some kind of worship song happening in my head. And I think the reason for that is because there's been four occasions in my life when waking up for another day wasn't something I could take for granted.
Right.
So You know, each day is truly a blessing.
Yeah.
And so having had those experiences makes me really value waking up in the morning, and I do. So I wake up and think, great, you know, God's got a plan for me.
Still I'm here.
It's still here. And so obviously something's going on.
Mm.
And that's pretty special.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, gorgeous. Cool. And what's one thing about God or Christianity you wish everybody knew?
That God will meet all of your needs all of the time. That's such a special promise to me, because he's never, ever, not even almost, let me down on that.
Mm.
And it's something that I've been able to share with my family who don't know Jesus, that they then, they actually understand that, yeah. Even though they might not understand Jesus and not have a faith of their own, they understand that I know it to be true, and they see it manifest in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a useful witness.
Yeah.
Even my son, who doesn't have a faith, I was worrying about something once and he said, just do that thing that you do. I don't know what you mean. And he went on for a little bit and was saying, I don't know what you mean. He was saying, yes, you do. Just do that thing. And in the end, what he was talking about was actually leaning on that promise that God meets all my needs all the time. And he actually said it in the end, you know, that thing where you say that God meets all your needs all the time, just do that. I went, okay, yes, you're right. That's what I need to do. And so even though he doesn't have a faith of his own, he understood that that's reality and that's truth, is that God does meet all our needs all the time. So that's what I want everyone to know.
Yes. And I guess I want to ask about, because we live in a very materialistic society, you know, what comes under the needs umbrella and what comes under the wants umbrella?
Yeah. They can often be poles apart, can't they?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I was a poverty-stricken student and a single parent, you know, needs felt like it was things like, you know, paying my bills on time or, you know, buying food that wasn't just with a voucher from the city mission, you know. But we got through. You know, what I needed was to trust that God would keep a roof over our heads and that we wouldn't starve, and we didn't. You know what? The bills did eventually get paid, often not on time, but they did get paid.
Yeah.
And we got through.
Yeah. And it's just such a witness. It really is. Yeah.
I used to do a Bible study with a group of elderly ladies from Taruna Baptist, and they were just the most beautiful people. And one of the ladies, every time you said, how are you, Mary? All she would say was, God is so good to me. And I feel like I can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, God is so good to me.
So, yeah.
Channel Mary when I get asked, how are you? God is so good to me.
Well, that's a wonderful place to finish. So we might finish there. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
It's my pleasure, Ruth.
Isn't that fantastic? God is so good to me. May we all be able to say that about our lives. Next week, I am talking to my friend Megan from high school. I have the best friends from high school. You can look forward to a great interview from Megan. I want to thank people who suggested interview people to me. I really appreciate that feedback, and I've got some great interviews hopefully coming up very, very soon. I want to thank especially Catherine Joy for the music that she created for this podcast, and I want to remind you that if you want to support me, you can at patreon.com/quietlife, or if you want to give me feedback, please do email me ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or find me on Facebook, Ruth Amos Author, or Twitter @quietlife, and share this podcast with people you think it might help. And I will see you next week.